Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we go to the North Armstrong Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we go to John Costco of Pro Football Focus. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, Garrett. How are you doing this
morning? Man, I would have been better if we could have got a win, but that's a whole nother story. Actually,
we're on to Cincinnati, right?
Yes. Man, on to Cincinnati, but we got to break down this film first of this Pittsburgh game. I watch this game, and one of the things that stands out to me is, you know, I watch these games, and I watch these other teams, and I watch this guy named Duck Hodges throw the ball up to, you know, James Washington, and they can somehow scheme to get him open. They can somehow scheme to, you know, give him an opportunity to catch the ball in certain circumstances. But how come the Browns can't get that same opportunity with Odell Beckham? It's so frustrating. It gets to me that we cannot seem to get the same type chemistry with two guys who've been playing the whole season, and these two guys haven't even been playing 2 weeks together. How is that possible?
So I think it was just Duck Hodges seeing a certain coverage and just throwing it up, because all those times were against man-to-man, and he's, all right, I'm going to trust my guy to win under this, and he just threw it up for him and put it in a good spot. And all three of those catches were incredibly difficult catches to make. So, I mean, they easily could have fallen incomplete just because of the sheer difficulty of those plays. But, you know, James Washington, credit to him, he made the plays. And I think what's going on with, like, Baker and you know, Odell Beckham Jr. is that he's looking at a coverage pre-snap, and he's going, all right, I'm not going to these parts of the field because they're going to be taken away. And so he's just already, in his mind, pre-snap, all right, I've eliminated these plays. These are what I think are going to be open. And it's what he's predetermining what's going to happen, when really he needs to, you know, you need to have those things in your mind at pre-snap, but post-snap, you obviously process it and see what's going on. And sometimes you just essentially have to give OBJ those types of targets, where you just throw it up to him. Does OBJ get double covered a lot? It's yes, but it's not every single play. There are plays where he's, you know, man to man. And like you saw it with the Broncos game, where he essentially didn't look his way. He glanced that way and then decided he was going to try to take an easier route, which ended up being three receivers in the same area, and it caused a lot of problems. So, there's multiple different reasons for it, but I think Doc Hodges was just like, all right, I'm throwing it up. And maybe he was just coached to just throw it up and see what we can make about it.
And this goes to a larger point. Do you think, last year when you look at Freddie Kitchens, do you think that, what is the difference between, do you think that Baker is more disciplined as far as his reading and progression, or is it a certain thing? Has he always been taught to eliminate or predetermine where he's throwing the football? Because that seems kind of alarming to say, well, I'm going to predetermine where I'm going to throw it, and I'm just going to eliminate half the field. You know, has that always been something that he's been doing, or, you know, is this something that they can break him out of? Because that seems like that's a recipe for disaster.
I think he's being coached to do that, because it's not something he did last year. It's never something he did in college. He was a guy that, especially in college, that had a really good feel for where everybody was on the field and would find the open receiver and hit him. You saw that last year, where he would find the open receiver and hit him. And it wasn't just you know, he was reading the entire field. He was going through progressions. He understood what the defense was giving him and found that open receiver. And he's just not doing that this year. So I have to think that some of that has to be on the coaching, where they're telling him specific things that these are the things we want you to do. And it might be this a big time change from what he's used to doing, you know, his entire life in terms of how to play the game. And obviously you see results on the field, which are not good. When you get a coach in there, like last year he had Ken Zampezi as his QB coach, and he's a 25-year veteran. You know, he's a guy that's seen pretty much it all. And this year he's now got Ryan Lindley, who's doing his first year as a QB coach, who was at San Diego State last year, you know, coaching and at QB. So he's gone from like a seasoned vet as a QB coach to a guy that's pretty much trying to figure it out. And I think that shows. And, you know, I don't know if Brian Lindley is going to stick around, but it's definitely something that where they need to figure out, hey, you need to let this guy play, but let him be able to, you know, develop him to be able to read the full field instead of trying to predetermine things.
Talking to John Costco on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, man, I didn't really expect that. I had a whole line of questioning going a different way. But you know, for me, this is really large because it's, you know, when I look at this division and I said this before, and I'll throw this out to you. When you look at, you know, the quarterbacks in the hierarchy, when you look at Lamar Jackson and you look at the way he is developed and he took that quantum leap. And I think he's and we've seen that he might be a MVP candidate this year. So when you look at the way he made a quantum leap, and if you look at him and he makes another leap next year, and you look at a guy like Patrick Mahomes, you know, in this division, if you got those two quarterbacks and they continue to improve, and those guys are dynamic as they come, especially with Lamar Jackson, nobody's better with his feet. And when you got Patrick Mahomes, nobody is better with the arm talent. What do you do if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, if you're thinking like, okay, how are we going to compete if we don't have guys developing Baker to compete with those guys? And they're in the AFC, and we want to get to the Super Bowl.
I think you have to make changes, right, to figure out how to develop him properly. And I think QB evaluation or just developing isn't a linear scale, right? So, like, you can have good years and bad years, and you've seen that from all quarterbacks, even like Patrick Mahomes, Carson Wentz. You know, 2 years ago, Carson Wentz got injured the rest of the season. They won the Super Bowl, but he came back the next year. He was not nearly as good, and he still isn't nearly as good this year, and he hasn't reached those heights again. Patrick Mahomes last year, obviously the MVP, was off the charts good. Especially in our throw-by-throw grading. This year, he's nowhere close to what he was grading last year. He was at about the 94 overall grade. This year, he's at 79.3. And yes, he still has the stats and stuff like that, but he's missing a lot of routine throws, and a lot of the scheme that helps him get those, you know, the 20 touchdowns, 2 interceptions this year. So his numbers still look really good. But that's the thing, is that when it comes to these quarterbacks, they don't develop linearly, right? It's not always up in terms of how their play is, because, you know, I'm not sure exactly what's going on in that quarterback, you know, room with what they're telling Baker and how they need him to develop and what they're asking of him. It just looks like that from the outside. And, you know, Baker had a monster year last year. It was one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen. But so he takes a step back this year. Who knows what happened in the offseason? It seemed like he maybe was complacent. I don't know, but he could very well come back, work harder in this off season, come back next year, and have one of these breakout years. And it just happens to be a year later than we expected. So yes, I think there's some changes that need to be happened. But also defensive coordinators, you know, they saw, hey, we got to be able to defend Baker Mayfield because these are the things he does well, and they took away these things, and so he has to counter with that. And so there's an opportunity he has to be able to counter those things that defensive coordinators have taken away from him. But also, like with Lamar Jackson, you saw last year that they started to take away the things that he did well at the end of the season, but then they came back with a completely different game plan, and he's lit it up this year. And, you know, you saw last week the 49ers maybe laid a blueprint on how to stop him because, you know, he basically needed a last-second field goal to win that game. So there was and also, like, the Browns kind of shut them down early in the year. The Chiefs shut them down. So there's some blueprints out there to be able to shut down Lamar Jackson and what he's able to do. But he's also got that team around, and that's just making all the right decisions, too. So it's going to be very difficult to compete with that for the next 10 years, especially from a Browns perspective. But, in terms of this, how QBs develop, it's never straight, linear, always getting better. There's always going to be hiccups.
Talking to John Costco on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You talked about, you kind of sprinkled in there with the playbook and what, the Baltimore Ravens are doing as far as doing a little something different and came back with a different playbook and different options for Lamar Jackson. When you guys are breaking down tape and when you guys are watching the route combinations and the route trees and all those good things when you guys are watching film, when you guys are watching around the league and watching the different teams, who would you say in terms has the most creative playbooks or creative routes or creative offensive, just basic offensive, schemes, not, or concepts? Who would you say has the most, just creativity in the way that they look to get their players open? And where would you kind of put Freddie Kitchens and Todd Monken in that pantheon, or where would you rank them as far as their creativity and how they look to get their players open?
Well, I think there's a clear four best in the NFL when it comes to being able to create and be innovative, and that are the Chiefs, the Saints, the 49ers, and the Ravens. And they all do it differently, right? So you got the Saints that Sean Payton has been a master at being able to just to get players open, utilizing them properly, and running, with peppering that with the running game, the screen game, all that works extremely well for him. The 49ers with Kyle Shanahan, he's a guy that obviously we all know that it's all predicated on that wide zone, and he takes everything off of that and makes everything look the same, and then it's different. All of a sudden there's one tweak to it, and there's a guy that's wide open down in the middle of the field. You saw that in the Sunday night broadcast where, George Kittle ran a flag and it was supposed to be a typical flag with a rollout and you got the typical boot action, but then he took it back off to the post. He's wide open in the middle of the field and you got Kevin King out there looking around like, what happened here? So you've got that type of innovation going on with the Chiefs. Andy Reid has done this for his entire career. He's obviously been one of the best offensive minds in probably NFL history with how he's able to get players open. Just does a lot of different creative things with his motion and his shifts and his pre-snap stuff. And then when you have the talent like a Tyreek Hill and all the speed that they have, they can make those things work. And then Patrick Mahomes with his ability just makes everything even that much better. But he was able to do that with Alex Smith when he was there. It's not at that level that with Mahomes, but it's still there. And then with the Ravens, like we had talked about, they're just able to make same thing. They make everything look the same pre-snap with a different type of look, with power, with outside zone read, with inside zone read. And then you don't know if Lamar Jackson is going to be giving it, holding it, or throwing it. And so there's a lot of different things they do there that confuse you, but it's a lot of the same things, too. It's just packaging a different look. So I think those four teams are probably the most innovative and creative and, credit to them. They also have good quarterbacks leading it too. And so, they're able to teach it well and make it all look how it's supposed to.
And you would rank, in the Browns offense, you would rank where in the league as far as creativity?
Probably middle of the pack. I think Freddie Kitchens has some type of creativity too. We've seen it last year. We've seen some of that this year where he has route combinations where, even like week one, you saw where, Tony Romo was on the broadcast for the Titans game and the first touchdown of the season where he thought that Rashard Higgins came from the seam or from the slot and he actually came from the outside. And, he was actually kind of amazed at how that route combination came out with the sluggo. So Freddie Kitchens does some creative things. What I think happens poorly with, that, and I think maybe he was, you know, obviously he was better last year as an offensive coordinator, is that they don't execute it properly, right? Obviously, we've seen that countless times this year where execution fails for the Browns. But I think in terms of the creative plays that he's trying to work up, you know, you saw with the wishbone last year, you've seen some of that that counter power stuff where he's, you know, you've got the look going one way and it hand off to the jet underneath to like Jarvis that went for the against the Panthers a couple of times. So he does some creative things, but I think because the execution's so poor, it looks none of it like it doesn't. It's not consistent enough.
And really quickly here, you look at that and you look at the totality of the whole situation with the Browns. They got the game against the Bengals, and you're coming up and you have these last few games. What is your sense of the team, and what is your sense of is the team moving in the right direction? Do you think the Browns are moving in the right direction, or do you think that this is a step forward, or this is a year that they were just status quo?
You know, when end of the year, the record's probably going to be about the same as it was last year. So, like, I think when the record-wise, it's going to be status quo. But I think it's going to feel like a step backwards year, mainly because Baker Mayfield didn't take that step forward that everybody expected and wanted, right? So, you know, with Mayfield not progressing as expected or having that sophomore jump like, you know, some of the recent quarterbacks I talked about earlier have done, it's going to feel like a step back year. And, you know, especially you look at the defense where you obviously have a lot of issues on the defense right now. The offense has tons of lulls. They're really, really bad after a negative play. Or if they have a play that doesn't gain yards, they're one of the worst in the NFL of coming back and having a successful play the next play. So there's a lot, I think, to be desired on this team. And it's, you know, record-wise, it's going to be status quo, and I think it's mainly because of the weak schedule down the stretch. But this is a team that felt like all year long that was took a big step back, I'd say.
All right, man. I appreciate you, John, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good, Garrett. Have a good one.
You too. Appreciate you. That was John Costco on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.